Dear congregation belonging to Christ, I think you will agree with me how sad when people look to something that at best only gives us duct tape solutions to the problems in life. That's extra sad when the Lord has come to give us the solution to literally all problems in life. And the earlier we learn that the solution is found with the Lord our God, the better. And in this regard, our scriptures for this morning from 2 Corinthians 1 is very helpful. If you read both the first and second letters of Corinthians, as penned by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, you will know both letters tell us about a lot of problems in the congregation and in the people's lives back then. In both letters, the missionary pastor Paul labors to solve and resolve the problems and to teach the gospel way all through life. Interestingly, in our reading in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1 to 11, it's as if the apostle Paul takes a moment before dealing with more problems yet just to state his overall perspective and his outlook, his Christian outlook in all of life, also with every situation and any problem we ever face here on earth. He pauses, you could say, as it were, to look what alone can be our comfort, our source of strength, our protection, our safety and help moving forward and dealing with whatever we have to deal with all the days of our life. The word comfort is from the Latin, meaning literally with strength. And so we can ask, what is it that helps you with strength? Move forward with strength in all your ways. What is it? Is it some duct tape solution of ourselves? Or is it the gospel comfort like none other? Martin Luther, you know, he wrote the words, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." And as another expressed, for a true understanding of that word comfort, you could replace that word fortress with comfort. A mighty comfort is our triune God, the God of salvation, our covenant-keeping God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just think, too, how Paul ends his writings to the Corinthians with that beautiful benediction, you know, of 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Do you see it here? What the apostle wants us all to realize in Jesus' name, what a fortress of strength and help and support and comfort is found for us in and with God in Christ Jesus. Yes, the Lord gives strength and comfort like none other. Clearly, this same is what Paul focuses on in the opening verses of 2 Corinthians 1, which we read. In fact, you can't miss this emphasis. Here I can ask the children in church even, if you look just at verses 3 to 7, how often is that word comfort or consolation, the same word in the Greek, how often is it mentioned? You count it. Maybe afterwards. You'll see it's mentioned 10 times just in the verses 3 to 7. And Paul does this purposely to bring out with compelling force the rich and everlasting comfort which God bestows on his people who trust in him. And having the triune God congregation as our comforter, that can and does help in and through any and every trouble and problem and struggle and sorrow that you and I meet with here and now. So Paul says, doesn't he, in doxological praise, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation," or comfort, same word, "abounds through Christ," he says. And when the text mentions here the sufferings of Christ with Paul's sufferings, Paul doesn't mean there that he adds to Christ's suffering, but Christ suffers with him. Christ so identifies in all his sufferings as he lives for God and good. That's what Paul is teaching. What a Savior friend we have in Jesus when he is your and my refuge and comfort in this life and forevermore. Well, this morning then, beloved, as we look at the Bible-based teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism, and we have the introductory lesson, Lord's Day 1, this is also what being brought forward there in that lesson with great beauty and clarity, namely that belonging to Christ and trusting in him, that brings true comfort for us like none other. And while this is introduced in lesson 1, telling us what we can call gospel comfort like none other, it's explained further in the 51 lessons following. But for this service, we will only introduce the gospel comfort like none other, having that as our theme and following these three main points. First, explaining this comfort. Second, knowing this comfort. And then third, showing this comfort. With the last point, I hope to share two true stories that I heard about this week, which so powerfully proves this gospel comfort like none other. The opening Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism, like the opening verses of 2 Corinthians 1, explains so beautifully and concisely the gospel comfort like none other. We should realize and remind ourselves the opening question and answer of the Catechism was written by godly men in the year 1563. And they were living in a time then of severe persecution against the faithful Christian church. Daily and weekly, Bible-guided Christians were being tortured and killed as martyrs for the faith. In those years, too, there were sometimes fearful plagues and pestilences that led to the untimely death of many people. Plus, there was a lot of political and cultural turmoil and upheaval nationally and internationally. What I'm saying with this congregation is the opening question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism was written in a context of many problems and sorrows and struggles in life then, even as we still experience the same in our times today. In the face of untold sin and evil and the miseries of life and death in every generation, hear now this question and answer, saturated with scripture that tells of gospel comfort like none other. It is the Christian's confession of faith. What is your only comfort in life and death? The Christian answers, my only comfort in life and death is that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Now, I know someone who says this every morning to himself, just to keep perspective. And that's good. And we encourage memorizing this, don't we? But notice with me just how memorable and marvelous, really, this gospel comfort is, like none other. It's splendid beyond words for several reasons. See with me how it covers everything about us. I mean, here, comfort for us is told that covers us for body and soul, both in life and death. Can you imagine? Just to have real comfort for us only in one of those four categories would really be something. But comfort in all four categories? Is that even possible? Oh yes, with God as the God of all comfort for us in Christ Jesus, it surely is possible. And it's the reality. Observe further, the answer speaks of the comfort of a complete salvation that has fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from all the power of the devil. Plus, the care for body and soul is such that absolutely nothing can happen to us to hurt us ultimately. And all will actually be helpful for us finally. So under the care and keeping of having this God in Christ as our Savior and Lord and Comforter. Total salvation and total protection and total care and guidance and keeping is granted and guaranteed us trusting in Christ as our Savior and our refuge and comfort. Further, not only does the comfort of God with us mean help, every help for us in this life from the Lord, but also every assurance of eternal life given us in and through Him. Plus, being enabled and moved time and again to live all out for God, even here in this life. And then promised hereafter to do so in perfection forever. I mean, isn't that great? Isn't it such complete comfort? Why, the more you study the scripture-saturated explanation of the gospel comfort like none other, the more you find reason to be overwhelmed in praise and adoration for so great comfort given undeserving sinners like us when trusting and following Jesus as only Savior and Lord. And you know what else? This comfort is freely given us. For it comes from the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, in and through Him. How? Well, at the cost, as the answer says, of His precious blood shed on the cross of Calvary. He was left comfortless, remember, as sin-bearer on Golgotha, that we who trust Him might always and forever be comforted. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe for this gospel comfort like none other. What is more special too, about this gospel comfort as none other, as explained to in question and answer one, notice how it's from God triune, with all three persons of the Trinity mentioned as being intimately involved in planning and providing and guaranteeing this comfort to believers. When you and I, congregation, by grace through faith, belong to Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, it means belonging to God, the Father of mercies and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom He gave. And it means belonging to God the Father of all comfort, even through Jesus. And it means having the Holy Spirit, who is called the Comforter by Jesus, you know, especially in the Gospel of John, to have Him ever with us, that Holy Spirit guiding us and guarding us through His Word in all our ways. Oh, it's such a splendid, comforting confession of faith, what Christians confess in question and answer one of the Heidelberg Catechism. Admittedly, this opening question and answer of the catechism, however beautifully it is expressed, it is still a human document, isn't it? And we do not base our faith on it or in it as such. No, but on Scripture alone and its divine inspiration and holy authority. And that is why our text is 2 Corinthians 1. What the Catechism reflects in faithful summary of the Word is fully revealed for us in our Scripture reading of this morning. And so it has divine authority on that basis. Notice how Paul speaks of God in Christ as the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all our tribulation. So much so, he writes, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. The Apostle Paul also talks about, while meeting with many sufferings in his life, sufferings related to living in union with Christ and in service to Him as our Savior and Lord. Yet, however many those trials and sufferings were, Paul experienced very many, you know, in his missionary work. Still, he says, never did those sufferings not be helped by the consolations of Christ all along the way, the comfort of God in Christ, every step of his journey. No, never, ever did he have to suffer without the consolations of Christ, always abounding towards him in all that they met with and went through in their brief earthly pilgrimage. Just listen here again also to the all-round comfort Paul expresses also even over against death, our last enemy, in verse 10.
After mentioning already in verse 9, God raises the dead. But listen to what he says. Paul declares, concerning the God of all comfort, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, and whom we trust, he will still deliver us. You hear that? Comfort for body and soul in life and death, past tense, present tense, and future tense. I mean, could it get any better than that? Again, in this sermon, we are only introducing the gospel comfort like none other, but just explaining it a little. Is it enough to draw you to this comfort above all else? And are you delighting in this gospel comfort like none other in your heart and life? How many people, not only in the world and in false religions, but sadly in churches too, are seemingly content with just some duct tape sort of religion and some duct tape sort of comfort that in no way measures up to, nor can ever compare with, this gospel comfort like none other? Oh, do you today confess with the Apostle Paul and all the Christians, all true Christians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations. What comfort is found with him, even, yes, in the valley of the shadow of death? Well, asking these questions brings us also to our second main thought in regards to this gospel comfort, like none other. After explaining this comfort somewhat, think next with me about knowing it. What does it mean to know this comfort? And how can we know and enjoy this only comfort in life and death? Well, that is exactly what question 2 of the Heidelberg Catechism is about. We are asked there in question 2, how many things are necessary for you to know that you enjoying this comfort may live and die happily? And the answer then given, again, based thoroughly on Scripture, declares 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. And the third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. And again, congregation, the Catechism in the 51 remaining lessons will expand on these 3 key realities realized by all genuine believers. Knowing the true gospel comfort like none other involves knowing and believing in your mind and heart what sinners we are of ourselves. And yet, what a Savior we have and can find for us in Jesus Christ. And then living in thankful praise to him for this one and only comfort of the gospel from beginning to end in our lives. All the Christian life, we can say, from the first beginning of it to our last breath here on earth, is about knowing and growing in all 3 areas of what it means to know this only comfort. All healthy and holy Christians never stop learning these 3 gospel details. And the more these 3 details are understood and experienced by us, the more the one gospel comfort, like none other, becomes embraced and enjoyed and exhibited in our lives by God's grace and Spirit. But here, let me ask you, do you know and confess something of your sin and guilt and bondage and misery problem on your own? Are you too convinced and convicted how very deep-rooted and consequential the curse and corruption with sin and our sinfulness as people conceived and born in sin and as offspring of Adam and Eve fallen in sin? If you won't take this reality seriously, also in regards to yourself, you will never truly look to Jesus nor ask him to be your Savior and Lord and comforter. You'll just be content with duct tape comforts instead. All too many people, very sadly, the vast majority in this fallen world, alas, are living with nothing but duct tape-like comforts and solutions in life that always will fail us, that are more like Band-Aid solutions that bring no solution at all. And people, because they refuse to acknowledge their sin, they sadly refuse to look to the only hope and comfort for us. Well, what about you in this regard? children and young people too, here in church and on listening online. You know already, if you are honest before God, what a depraved and deceitful mind and heart you have on your own. Have you brought that to Jesus, asking him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Knowing the only comfort involves not only knowing always how great our sins and miseries are, but by nature, but learning to how great and gracious and glorious is Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. Truly, as Paul exclaims in Romans 5, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound in and through the Savior when repenting of sin and believing on him. The whole Bible proclaims this, doesn't it? What a Savior of sinners we find in Jesus. Paul says in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The whole Bible teaches over and over, what a Savior. As Paul declares in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world as mighty Savior to save sinners, of whom I am chief, he says. Again, are you and I trusting and owning Jesus Christ as our only Savior and Lord, each one for ourselves? By the way, in this regard, did you notice how many personal pronouns are given in the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, telling about the gospel comfort like none other? Maybe you can count them later, and you can tell me how many. The important and urgent gospel matter is that you and I personally acknowledge and confess Jesus Christ as our only hope and refuge. Well, is it so with each one of us? Are you belonging to Jesus Christ in spirit and truth? Does the Savior himself know that you call upon him as your only comfort for soul and body in life and death? You know, it can be known when you know about your sin and misery in truth, and when you know about the Savior in truth, because you know how it can be known? Then you will also want to live for God in thankful praise and obedience to him. Living in gratitude to God, in submission to his word and will, won't then be a matter of having to do so, but more rather wholly desiring to do so, and repenting constantly when you still struggle in doing so. When we know our sins and our Savior, you want to live for God as long as you live, and not less and less, but more and more. The fruit of true faith is, by God the Holy Spirit, a lifetime of thankfulness, ever praising God triune for the gospel comfort for soul and body in life and death, so freely given to us and guaranteed for us, all for Jesus' sake alone. Oh, the love of Christ, and so compels us, doesn't it, in humble and hearty praise to the Lord. Paul, you know, in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 5, when he speaks about his sufferings in Christ's way, we know for sure he never did not want to live that way, even though he suffered much. And in the end, he would also die as a martyr. No, he didn't want to not live that way. No, for with God and Christ as his Savior and Lord, he knew he was more than conqueror, no matter what would go his way. And his life was so fulfilling following after the Lord. Always and again, with the tribulations Paul was experiencing, he also experienced the sweet and the strengthening, strong comforts of Christ as his Savior and Lord, just abounding to him in all his needs and cares as he sought to live all out for God and good. You see, he was all about this gospel comfort like none other. The gospel comfort like none other, congregation, is so endlessly worth it, you see. And again, I ask, are you and I knowing this too? In the way of question and answer 2 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Truly knowing this? Do you want to recognize or have an answer to what is the real evidence of you knowing truly something of the misery, deliverance, gratitude details of the Christian faith? Well, it's found two ways. One, in experiencing something of all three of those, always. And then it's found especially in the word only in the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism. When we, congregation, truly know something of our hopeless ruin and sin, of ourselves and the gracious remedy from sin through Christ, and we live daily renewed lives in and through Christ, then we confess and express genuinely and increasingly Jesus Christ alone, alone as Savior and Lord. Yes, only He, and always only He, can save sinners like you and me. And there's just none other beside Him who can freely and fully provide the true and everlasting comfort for us, both for body and soul, and in life and death, for now and forever. And the Catechism will explain this all more in the lessons following. Do you today acknowledge all salvation is in and through Christ alone? Namely, that Christ is not one of many possible comforts and helps, as so much even said in churches of our day, but His is the one and only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's just not possible. But with Him, there is full and free salvation. Oh, the more we know our sin, and the more we learn of Him, and the more we truly love Him and live for Him, isn't this same what all God's redeemed people come to realize and confess more and more? That only Jesus and Him crucified and risen again can save a sinful wretch like me. And when He saves, oh, what a salvation He gives, so complete and wonderful and eternal and free. And what a joy and blessing and strength and comfort beyond words, and to live life's brief journey to His praise, exalting this only comfort. Indeed, no matter what comes at us, always trusting and following after Him. Well, congregation, that this may be all our confession of faith, and that knowing it, we may ever grow in this confession of faith too, by God's grace. Let's yet consider our third point, our showing this comfort. And doesn't Paul speak of this in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, saying there that the Lord comforts His people in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see that? Isn't this a joyful calling and blessed privilege of all true Christians? Namely, that we may live even to our last breath with God's help, humbly and heartily showing and testifying this only comfort to those around us. Yes, in our families and churches, and in our world, as God gives us opportunity. Who are you and I presently showing and reflecting the only comfort in life and death? Oh, may God triune help us so to live as confessing believers, that our children and the watching world may see in and from us that trusting and following God and His gospel word, oh, we have inexpressible, sure comfort and consolation in all our life. Yes, and looking to Jesus and belonging to Him, we find all manner of consolation in our every need and care and situation in life, whether in sickness or in health, riches or poverty, and fruitful or barren years. Let's so encourage and comfort one another, beloved, when confessing believers, with the comforts of the gospel like none other. And whatever so-called bad news or disappointing reports and so-called setbacks, then not ever let them deter us, but instead only spur us on all the more to live out the confession of faith in 2 Corinthians 1 and the Christian testimony of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. Now, to encourage us in this way, let me close with the two stories, seeing such comfort in God's way as I learned about this past week. The first was hearing again about Johnny Erickson Tada. You will know probably about her. This person, Johnny, when she was 18 in the mid-1960s, she had a diving accident, and she hit a stone when she dove, and she broke her neck. And she became a paraplegic, mostly paralyzed from her neck down, and wheelchair-bound for the rest of her life. She's now in her 70s, still living, but she's had a very difficult life. But early on, after her accident, she was saved by God's grace. And she learned about God as her only comfort. And when you then learn further of her life story and her lifetime service for God and the stories about that in helping many others around the world bound to a wheelchair just like herself, it's both very moving and stunning how God has so blessed her and used her for good in spreading the gospel hope and comfort in word and deed to many others in need. Now, what I want to read to you from her is one of her fairly recent reflections with her Christian witness before God and others. At one point she writes, quote, "I always say that in a way, I hope I can take my wheelchair to heaven with me." Oh, I know, she says, that's not biblically correct. But if I were able, I would have my wheelchair up in heaven right next to me when God gives me my brand new glorified body. And I will then turn to Jesus and say, "Lord, do you see that wheelchair there, right there? Well, you were right when you said that in this world we would have trouble and have to go through many tribulations. Because, Lord, that wheelchair was a lot of trouble and tribulation to me. But, Jesus, the weaker I was in that thing, the harder I leaned on you. And the harder I leaned on you, the stronger I discovered you to be. So thank you for what you did in my life through that wheelchair." That's what she wrote. And that's what she spoke. Do you hear, congregation, how she gloried in her infirmities because it helped her so to rely in the only comfort in life and death, namely of belonging to Christ and being one of his redeemed. I mean, what a great and glorious testimony she gives here, don't you agree? About God's gospel comfort like none other. But then listen yet to my second story, which more or less broke me to tears and renewed my trust and reliance on God and finding all my comfort only always in him and belonging to him. We had a ministerial meeting this past Tuesday, a meeting we have periodically where Bible-believing pastors in the city and surrounding area get together for mutual instruction and encouragement. Well, this time the speaker was a pastor from Edmonton area, and he spoke to us about how to avoid burnout, becoming overwhelmed, you know, with all that we are facing, and not only in our lives, but each one of us in that regard, but also in our ministries. And he had a whole number of points, but he began with saying, in all life's challenges, to keep our theology simple and front and center. And he said, don't neglect the gospel. And he then expanded a little by saying, remember always Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22. Pointing out God reigns and he's almighty and sovereign and he created the whole universe and he has a plan and he will make all things new and right one day too. And then he said, always remember too Genesis chapter 3, telling of the fall of man into sin. To answer all your why questions in this world of misery. And he said, keep in view, yes, Romans chapter 8, proclaiming God's work of redemption in Christ Jesus, so splendid and sure. You know what he was doing here? I was thinking, he's giving very simply the message of the only comfort in life and death. It's gospel comfort like none other. That the whole Bible proclaims to us. He then mentioned for himself how this theology simple and front and center from these key passages helped keep his nostrils, he said, above the water in the hardest of times. As he put it, quote, a high view of God's sovereignty will be the rock under our feet. Where else can we go, even when things are most difficult? And when expanding on not to neglect the gospel, he mentioned a gospel text or two about each of which he said, quote, these texts have enough depths to keep us swimming for the rest of our lives. He exhorted also along the same line, keep a childlike faith in the word of God. Be humble before God's word. Be sure to be trembling before the scriptures, especially when you think you know better. as he put it, be all in with the Bible. But now let me tell you what so moved me about his presentation. This minister began with telling first something of his life story. In his life, he and his wife met with most shocking and distressful trials. He told us how back in 2008, when their dear, young, beautiful 14-year-old daughter was taking a walk in the woods nearby their home, she was brutally murdered on that path. The man who killed her, 46-year-old man, who's in prison still today, had no reason for killing her, except he was mad at everyone and was actually out to kill himself, but seeing her, decided to kill her instead. And congregation, think of it. Here, this minister, father of this brutally murdered beloved daughter, was standing there before us, encouraging us pastors to hope in God and to live out of the only comfort in life and death of belonging to Jesus, the one only God and Savior of sinners from all sin and misery in this wicked, fallen world. I was so humbled by this and convicted and convinced all the more, congregation, of the power and the comfort of the gospel as I witnessed 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 5, literally displayed right before my eyes and ears. But I'm not done yet. This minister, father of four children, one son and three daughters, he then went on to say how in 2019, now not even 2 years ago yet, their one son, who was studying at a seminary and who with his wife was expecting their first child, which would be their first grandchild, he suddenly died of a ruptured aortic aneurysm at age 27. Can you imagine? Their only boy, with two surviving daughters now and a young daughter-in-law, a widow, expecting her first child, which would be their first grandchild. And here this man, this minister, this father, not even 2 years after that second of two major family tragedies, is speaking before us. Not only telling and showing us the only comfort of belonging to Christ and being one of his children by God's grace, but actually encouraging us in this same gospel way. To me, congregation, he was a living miracle of grace and godliness standing right before us. Instead of being an angry and resentful, self-pitying, bitter man, no longer serving others with all his hard knocks in life, he was there before us exhorting us how not to be overwhelmed and not to have burnout in the pressures and struggles of life. And in the end, his testimony, as he let be known to us too, was not about him or his wife, but about the God of salvation, the God of all comfort, you see, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. Oh, dear congregation, let us be people so ever focused and feeding on the God of all comfort, who also then are not only able to explain this comfort and know this comfort, but show it to others by God's grace and Spirit, what is the only comfort in life and death. That comfort like none other, belonging to Christ Jesus and having him as our Savior and Lord, and having in and through Jesus Christ our triune God all out for us always, no matter what we go through, never against us in any way, as we only always deserve, left to ourselves. Well, again, beloved, apart from this comfort, you and I are just living with duct tape solutions for soul and body, both in life and death, for now and forever. Don't let it be so, but let us hear the word of God about the one and only comfort. Yes, and let's pay attention. Don't be a fool. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Yes, for as this preacher's two children's sudden deaths also relate. We never know when suddenly you or I may be taken from this life. And why would anyone wait with the God of all comfort, so gracious and great and glorious and guaranteed for all who call on him, out to give his comfort so supreme and splendid and sure? Wherefore, beloved, comfort one another with these words, you and I, ever about this gospel comfort like none other. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you encourage us as the God of all comfort. Even for myself, if I reflect on this past week, I had that wonderful experience Tuesday before Thursday, when we were rather disappointed with the news about Nellie, which was nothing like what this man himself all went through. And Lord, you are so gracious and good. And to have you as our God, we truly may have the God of all comfort with us and for us, in a way that we may live purposeful lives, reflecting that comfort to others who are in any trouble, with that same comfort with which you comfort us. There is no other real comfort. All other comforts that man come up with are like duct tape and do not really solve and give comfort in any way ever. Certainly not for soul and body, in life and death, for now and forever. Oh, thank you for your precious word, and thank you for question and answer 1 and 2. So summarizing it so beautifully, make it our confession of faith. Make it what we live by, whether we repeat it every day or not. Make it our love and our testimony. And to you be all the glory when it is so. In Jesus' precious name.